Yeah, we'll now try to start the chumrah of the day. I'll try to put something out there. All right, so we'll say today's daf is ayin tes. We'll start from the bottom of ayin ches on the base. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Hamotzi Shtarchov. So Rabbi Sayin, still in the sugya of shiurim. Shiurim for carrying certain amounts. So we'll say, begin it now into a very interesting sugya. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Hamotzi Shtarchov. If one carries out a loan document, Ad Shalo Paru, if the loan has not yet been paid, Chayiv, then one is Chayiv. Because we'll say, obviously, before the loan has been paid, so the document is very important because the document itself is usually the vehicle of collection. So the way it normally works is the lender would go ahead and hold on to that document and would only return it to the borrower after the borrower pays. So the Brisa says, if the loan has not yet been paid, the document is significant. If the document is significant, then if you carry it out on Shabbos, Chayiv, Misha Paro, but once you paid back the loan, then what? Potter. Then halacha l'maaseh, once you pay back the loan, then by definition the document really becomes meaningless. If it's meaningless, then once you carry out on Shabbos, you potter. Rabbi Huda says, af misha paru chayiv, mibnei shetzarech lo. Rabbi Huda says, no, even after the loan has been paid, you're still chayiv. Why? Because you still need a loan document. So the Gemara says, my benayu. So what is the point of contention between the Rabbi Huda and the Tana Kama? Amar Rabbi Yosef, asher lishos shtar parua ika benayu. So Rabbi Yosef says the point of contention is whether or not it is permitted to hold on to a loan document after the loan has been paid. Rabbanan Savri, asher lishos shtar parua. The Rabbanan hold you may not hold on to a paid loan document. Why, Rabbi Ozai? There's a concern that if you hold on to a paid loan document, that what could happen? The lender could illegally try to collect again. Therefore, the Rabbanan say you may not hold on to a paid up loan document. Therefore, it's insignificant. Therefore, if you carry it on Shabbos, you're potter. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, Rabbi Huda Savra, Mutar Lishol Shtar Parua. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, holds that no, you are permitted to go ahead and hold on to a paid loan document. And therefore, again, it's significant. And therefore, Halocha Lamaisa, it is significant. And therefore, you're Chayiv if you carry it out. Now, look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the second wide line in Rashi. Rabbi Huda says it's Mutar to hold on to a paid loan document. So the Shaila is, Rabbosai, remember, this is all of the insignificance. So what significance does a paid loan document have? So Rashi says, Mutar, Hilchoch kiotzio malve chayiv, titzarecho lichroch apitz luchis. Because at the end of the day, it's significant. Why? Because you can use this piece of paper to serve as a bottle stopper, right? To cover the opening of a flask. So meaning it's no longer significant as a loan document. Obviously, the loan has been paid, but it has another significant use. Therefore, since Rabbi Huda holds you could keep it around, it has a significance, and therefore you chayiv. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Savar, I'm sorry, Mutar Lishol Shtar Parua. Abaye Amar, Dekuli Ama Asur Lishol Shtar Parua. Abaye says, no. Everyone agrees that you can't hold on to a paid-up document. Aye, so what's the machlokes Tanakam and Rabbi Huda? So the Gemara says, V'hacha v'mode v'shtar shekasu shetarach l'kaimo kamifliki. They're arguing with Rabbi Yosef about a different situation. Well, it's a very interesting case. Let's say I lend Reuven money. And what happens? I go ahead and I produce a shtar. Right? I produce a shtar. And Reuven admits to the fact that, yes, I borrowed money, but Reuven says, I paid you back. So the shayla now is, well, look at Rashi just a moment. B'mod b'shtar, halo v'mod shekosvu, tzarech l'kaimo v'lomar lo parati. So we'll say, here's the interesting case. So the lova admits that he wrote the shtar. The borrower admits that is his shtar. He wrote the shtar. We'll say it was often the custom that it was the borrower who incurred the expense of writing up the loan document. So the borrower admits that is my handwriting, that's my shtar, I wrote the shtar. But what happens? He claims that he paid it back. So also the shayla is now, do we say, well, look, buddy, there's a shtar, and the shtar stands on its own, and therefore you have to, unless you could produce proof that you paid back the loan, the shtar says that you chayv paid the loan, or do we say no? Almost like a pesha asur, a pesha hitir. Since it's the borrower that admitted that, the borrower could have just easily said, lo hayav lo yia, right? Never happened. I don't know what that shtar is, but you have to bring witnesses to indicate that I really borrowed this money. Right, the shtar is very nice, but the fact that he admits it, lends credence to his claim that he paid it back. So that's the machlokis over here. So the Gemara says, "Mode b'shtar." If someone goes ahead and admits that the shtar is in fact his shtar, he admits to the debt, but he claims claims that he also paid it back, shetarach lekhaimo, do you then have to bring the witnesses who signed on the shtar to validate the claim, or is the fact that he admitted to the shtar enough to make him liable to pay it back? Tanakama savramo de shtar shekos shetarach lekhaimo. The Tanakama holds that when the lov, when the borrower is mode that he wrote the shtar, when I say he wrote the shtar, I mean that the loan was really a loan against him, tzarech lekaimo. But he then says that he paid it back, so the malva, the borrower, is going to bless you, is going to have to find a way to produce the witnesses. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rabbi Yehuda holds, mode b'shtar shekasvo, in tzarech lekaimo. So most according to the Tanakama, the shtar itself almost becomes not totally significant, because the shtar is not going to be what ultimately makes the borrower obligated to pay. It's the finding the witnesses that's going to make the borrower liable to pay. Therefore, according to the Tanakama, if you took the shtar out after it's been contested by the lova, you're not chayv, because the shtar itself is not really so significant. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds mode b'shtar shekasvo in tzarech lekaimo. According to Rabbi Yehuda, once the lova admits that he is the borrower in the shtar, then there is no further need to go ahead and bring in the eidim. Rather, he's obligated to pay back the shtar. Therefore, the shtar is significant, and therefore, if he carried out a Shabbos, you're chayiv. So the Gemara says, "Umay ad shelo paru, umisha paru." So what does the Braisa mean when it says, and if he did not pay or if he pays, top of ayin tes, ad sheyomer lova parati velo parati, until the borrower says, I have paid or I did not pay. Look at Rashi. Kilomar, tap Rashi, ad shumar parati below parati, kilomar ad shalo amar parati, chayiv. If he did not say parati, if the lova, if the bar did not yet say, I paid the debt, then chayiv. Then if you were to carry out the shtar under those circumstances, you would be chayiv. Misha amar parati, however, once the lova said, I paid it back, potter, then again, if you were to carry out that document, you'd be potter. Why? Debatile. Because at the moment that the lova admits the loan, the document, so to speak, becomes inconsequential. Rava Amar, Rava takes a different version. Rava says, no, everyone agrees that when the lova, when the borrower admits that the shtar is his, right, but then says that I also paid back the debt, that the document will not stand on its own, that the malva, the lender, if he wants to collect his debt, will have to go ahead and bring in the witnesses. So what's the keys over here? Over here, Rabosai, is a discussion of whether or not we write a shover. Do we write a receipt? Right? After a person went ahead and paid up their document, do we write a receipt or not? Now, Rabosai, you'll say, it's a no-brainer. Of course, why not write a receipt? There's a downside to the borrower if you write a receipt. Why? Because if you write a receipt, that also means that in order to substantiate his claim that he paid back, what does he have to be able to produce? A receipt. You see, the maila of no receipts is, you know what happens after a loan transaction? You know what you do? You tear up the document and you're done. There's no paper trail anymore. There's nothing more. So meaning if somebody comes and says, you owe me money, I say, where's your document? The document is gone. The problem with the shover is that it places the onus on the borrower to keep his paperwork, or to keep the paper trail there. So there's a machlokes as to whether or not we write the shover. Do we write the receipts or not? So the Gemara says, and Rava wants to suggest that that's the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama sover kosin. The Tanakhama says, you write a shover, we write receipts. If we write receipts, Rabbi said, then in reality, after the loan has been paid, the document becomes inconsequential, and therefore, if you carry it out on Shabbos, you're not chayiv. For Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand holds, in kosin shover, we don't write receipts, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, the document remains significant even after the loan has been paid. Rav Ashi says, no, I disagree with all of you. So people say, up until now, interestingly enough, the focus has really been on who's carrying out the document. It's the lender. Rav Ashi comes along and says, no, I think it's a different case. I think, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about the borrower. And what's happening? The borrower is the one who's carrying out the document on Shabbos. Now, obviously, if the borrower has the document, so what's the state of the loan? It's been repaid. So why would the document be significant to the borrower? After, also remember, you have to ask yourself the following question. If I'm going to be chayiv for carrying it out, that means it's a significant document. If the loan has already been paid, then why is the document significant to the borrower? Says the Gemara Rav Ashi, it's very important. You know why? Because if I have a paid up, if I have a loan, a paid up loan document in my possession, what does that show? That shows I'm a person who's paid back, who paid back his debts. That is very important. Why? For my next line of credit, right? Because when I want to take to the next potential creditor and he wants to know am I good for it, then I say, look, here's proof that I borrowed money before and I've also paid it back. It's very important for his business standing. Therefore, it's significant, and therefore, we chayv carried out on Shabbos. Or, kidei lasos. So if you remember, again, the Mishnah said, or is leather. If you carry out leather on Shabbos, it has to be enough to make a kamiya, enough to make an amulet. So it says, the Gemara, b'ayin, Rav Miram Nachman, hamotzi, or bekamo. So Rav asked Rav Nachman, if you carry out leather on Shabbos, how much leather do you have to carry out in order to be chayv? Amar le, kidisnan, we learned it. Or, kidei lasos, kamiya. You have to carry out enough leather in order to go out and make an amulet. La'avdo bikama. So we'll say it's very interesting. Look at Rashi. La'avdo. It's actually Rashi la'abed. It's a little bit further down in the daf. La'abed or ha'omid la'avdo va'adayin lo'avdo bikama shir ho'tza'azo. So we'll say the assumption is when the Gemara, when the Mishnah talks about leather, leather is already tanned, right? Leather is what the hide is called after it's been tanned, right? What happens? What about la'avdo? What happens if you have a hide that is going to be tanned? It has not yet been tanned, but it's going to be tanned. So what is the shear for that substance? Is that the same as leather or not? So the Gemara says, Amar Leilo Shna. So he responded to him, doesn't matter. Meaning, hide is hide. Whether it's tanned leather or whether it's hide in its pre-tanned state, it has the same shear to make a kamiya. So the Gemara says, Umona Timra. Now, what's interesting, the Gemara says this. So what you're telling me now is that when you have material, whether that material is processed or unprocessed, it has the same shear. So the Gemara says, how do you know that? Right? Where do you know to say that an unprocessed material has the same status as its processed counterpart? So the Gemara says, Kiddushin, listen to this, because we learned, Hamelavein, if one whitens, Minafetz combs, Soveya colors, Tove spins, Shi'uro kimoli rochav hasit kafel. So we'll say this is talking about wool. So if one went ahead, and Malavin Rashi points out, Semer, one went ahead and is processing wool, and they process enough, Kimali Rochav Hasit Kafel means double the width of a sit. Now, what's a sit? Rashi points out over here, Kedei Hefresh Etzba Mea Amma. A sit is the distance between one's index finger and one's middle finger. So if you process enough thread for double the width of a sit, You're chayiv on Shabbos. Va'oreg beis chutin. And if one weaves two strings worth shi'uro kimali rochav hasit kafel alma kevan l'tilatvia koi shi'uro kitavi. So also, what's interesting is the following: that weaving spun thread, as well as either whitening or combing or dyeing unprocessed wool, is the same shear. So what do we see from here? That wool that ultimately could be spun into thread, it has the same shear as the processed thread itself. So here the Gemara is saying is you see that unprocessed material has the same shear as its processed counterpart. Hachinami kevan de la avdo kai, so to over here by the hide, since the hide is all made to be tanned, So the Gemara says, fine. So both say, all you've told me now, the Gemara says, is if you have a hide that is going to be tanned, but has not yet been tanned, its shear is the same as what? As a tanned hide. What happens if you have a piece of hide that is not going to be tanned? I guess they didn't tan every single piece of hide. So what happens if you had a piece of hide that was not going to be tanned? You know for sure it's not. So what is the halacha? How much? So what's the shear for carrying that on Shabbos? Amrali Loshna. So again responded, no distinction. It's the same shear to make a kamiya as a processed hide. So the Gemara says, Velo Shani, Bein Mu'ubad L'Sheinu Mu'ubad. Is that true, says the Gemara, that we're not going to make a distinction between a hide that is processed and a hide that is never going to be processed? Isli Es Kakasha. Hamotzi Samanin Shiruyin. If one took out, Samanin Shiruyin means Samanin are herbs that are soaked in leather. If one went ahead and took out samanin shiruyim, kedei litzboa bahen dugma li'ira, in order to go ahead and color a dugma. It's interesting. Look at Rashi. Dugma Rashi says it's kilomar ma'at kein shemarin le dugma slomar rotsa atabazeh. What's interesting is apparently dyers. I don't know if that's the right word. Dyers, people who dye things, used to have like a color palette. But they like so. What would they have as a color palette? They would dye little pieces of wool in different colors in order to be able to show the potential customer, you want this, you want that. Now, what's interesting is people would also use those dyeing samples, li'ira. Li'ira, Bosei Rashi says over here, is v'hu kishira hatzarech li'ira shalgardi liston pikana shepekiya sa'arim nusunimbo. So the ira was the receptacle in which a weaver would keep all of his thread. And they would keep it in a receptacle in order that the thread should not unravel. So they would go ahead and they would put a little piece of fabric on top of this receptacle. So if you carry out samanim, if you carry out samanim shirim, if you carry out herbs that were soaked and therefore ready to make dye, your chayiv, if you carry out the amount that would have been needed to dye the small piece of material that would have been used as a sample, and the size of that small piece of material is the size that you would put over the opening of the receptacle in which the weaver kept his thread. Well said, the amazing part is, once upon a time, this made sense to people, right? Meaning, I'm saying, you know, like clearly, when the Gemara uses it, it's, for us, we say, like, why can't you just tell me a shir? You have to realize that when Chazal said it like this, they were actually trying to make it easier. This was an easier act because by giving, they could tell you X shir, or they could tell you the amount that you need to put over the weaver's receptacle. And for the times in which they're speaking, that was actually easier. The weaver's receptacle, that makes sense. For us, we don't know what the heck this is talking about. But just understand, Chazal didn't do it to make it confusing. Lahefech, Chazal actually did it to make it easier on the common man. Fine. But yet, when it comes to herbs that are not soaked in water, Tnan, we learned, klipe agozin, u klipe rimonim, if you have the shells of nuts, or the shells of pomegranates, or sotis is safflower, upua is madder, kede litzboa bahen beged katan lepisafka, that you're chayiv if you carry out enough to go ahead and what? Dye a small piece of fabric that women would often put on top of their hat. So Rabbi says, you see over here what? You see over here that halacha lemaisa, it's a totally different shear. So you do see over here, and by the way, this hat shear, the small piece of fabric on the hat, is a smaller shear than the amount of dye necessary to dye the small piece of sample material. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that there are different shiurim for different things and different levels of process. So meaning, or different levels of, you know, we'll call process. That you see over here, if you have the herbs that are being soaked, which means, again, they're really ready to be used, the shear is X. And if you have the potential dyes that are not being soaked, the shear is Y. So we do see that there are different shiurim for different things in different stages of process. So the Gemara says the following, Ha'itmar Allah Amar Abnachin Ara Baravua, in Adam Torech Lishro Samonim Litzboa Bahen Dugma Li'ira. So Gemara says, no, the difference over there is that Halacha L'Maisa, when speaking about the amount that you'll be chayiv for carrying out in these raw herbs that have not yet been processed, is that a person doesn't just make enough dye to go ahead and make this little sample. If a person is going to make dye, then halacha lemaisa, they make it in a larger quantity. That's why halacha lemaisa, when carrying out the raw materials, you're only chayiv if you carry for this larger amount. The hari zeroni gina. But what about seeds in a field? Dinikamei dezarinu, that before you plant the seeds, so let's say again, you're just carrying stem seeds. So what's the halacha? Dinikamei dezarinu, tnan zeroni gina, pachos mikrogeres. That if you carry out seeds of a field, you're chayiv if you carry out a little bit less than a grogeres, a little bit less than the size of a dried fig. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Chamisha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says you're chayiv for carrying five seeds. V'ilu basar dizarino, but yet after you plant those seeds and they begin to sprout something, Tanan, we learned, Zevel v'chol hadak, if you carry out fertilizer or fine sand, you're only chayiv if you carry enough, kedei lezabel bo klach shel karuv. You're only chayiv if you go ahead and you carry enough to fertilize a single stalk of cabbage. David Rabbi Akiva, the chum say, kedei lezavel krisha. You're only chayiv if you carry out enough to fertilize a leek. Ha itmar Allah. So we learned about this. Amar Papa. So I'm sorry. Before we get to that, we'll say. So the Gemara is saying what? So you see from here that before this seed takes root, so that you're chayiv for less than a grogeres. You're chayiv for one shear. Yet once the seed takes root and what develops into something, so you're chayiv for a different shear, right? Of the klach shel karuv, right? The single stalk of cabbage. So you see that different things in different levels of process have different shiurim. Ha itmarlo, to which the Gemara comments, Amara papa ha dizriya, ha delozriya. The difference over there is where something's already been planted or something has not yet been planted. Both said the reason why the shear is larger when carrying raw seeds is because a person doesn't just take out one seed to plant. If a person is going to take out seeds to plant, a person takes a more significant shear. Vaharitit, but what about clay? Before you go ahead and knead it, Tanya, modim chachamim Rabbi Shimon. Once we learned this yesterday, the Chachamim are moded too, Rabbi Shimon, that if you carry out wastewater on Shabbos, you're chayiv if you carry out a shear of revius. Right? The Havinaban, we learned Shovchin Maichazu, and we asked, what is wastewater usable for? To knead clay. The ilu baser digvila, but yet after the clay is kneaded, Tanya, we learned, tit kadei lazos bohen pikor. That's how much clay you chayiv for carrying. Only the amount that you need to make the lip. We learned this yesterday, to make the lip on top of the small thing. So we'll say that's a much smaller shear, right? A revius of water will make a significant amount of clay. But yet the amount of clay you're chayiv for is what? Only a small amount that it takes to make the lip around that clay. To which the Gemara says, so we'll say the point the Gemara is making is you see that we do have different shiurim for different things in different stage of refinement. The Gemara says, no, it's different. Hasam nami kida amron. The difference over there is, as we said yesterday, we'll say that when you carry out the amount of water to make clay, a person doesn't just need a small amount of clay. If you're already going through the process, you do it in a significant shear. That's why you only have to carry out the revius of wastewater, because that's a significant amount of water that would allow you to need a significant amount of clay. But the amount of clay itself, once it's already been processed, that's chashuv, is in fact a smaller shear, just enough to make that lip around the kli. Tashma, darav chivar ami, mishmei du'ula, shlosha orosim. There are three different types of hides. Matzah, v'chipa, v'diftera. Three different types of leather. Matzah? What's matzah leather? It's interesting. Kimashmo, the name says it all. Delo maliach, it has no salt. Udelo kamiach, it has no flour. Udelo afitz, and it's not coated with gallnut juice. Just plain old matzah leather. So let's say, the idea is, apparently in the production of leather, they would salt the hide, they would also put flour on the hide, and they would coat it at the end with gallnut juice. Meaning, if you look at parchment, for example, so parchment has a little bit of a shine to it, a little bit of a smoothness to it. That comes, what they call from the offits. The me'afat, gallnut juice, itself from a nut, lav dafka, has to be gallnuts, as we'll see. The kamashi'uro, and how much would you be chayiv for carrying out of matzah leather? Tanu Rabbi Shlomo Bar Yehuda, kedei latzur bo mishkolos kitana. Enough to go ahead and wrap a small weight. Apparently what they used to do was they would wrap their weights in leather. Because the problem is if you keep putting the weights on the scale, so the constant banging against the scale could take away from the mass of the weight, which would then erode the actual weight of the weight. They would wrap it in pieces of leather just to preserve the weight. Kedilasar about mishkalos kitana. The kama amra baye, and how much is that, says abaye? Revia de pumpadisa. It's 1/4 of a litra that's used in pumpadisa. Okay, it gives you a volume measure. Chipa, what is chipa leather? Dimaliach velo kamiach, that's salted, the hide is salted, but you haven't put flour on it. Velo afetz, you have not put gallnut juice on it. The kam is shir, how much is it shir? Kedisnan or kedei lasos kamiach. So in this case over here, the shear of chipa leather is enough to go ahead and make a kamiach, enough to make the amulet. Diftera, what about diftera? Dimaliach, v'kamiach, v'lo afitz. So diftera, you see, I'll say each of these types of leather is a little bit more refined in nature. So what's diftera? Diftera means it's been salted, it's had flour put on it, but it has not had the gallnut juice on it. The kamish, how much is it shear? Kadei lichtob alav es haget. It's large enough to go ahead and write a get. Okay. Katoni mihas, Kadei latzor bo mishkolos kitana. So Rabbosai, so the Gemara says, but yet the Braisa said before, enough to go ahead and wrap up a small weight. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, katani mihas, amashir de'ein mu'ubad nafish. So Rabbosai, the point the Gemara is making over here is you see from here that there are different shiurim for leather in all different stages. Right, that halacha l'maaseh, when you have this unprocessed leather, it has to be enough to go ahead and wrap a small weight, which apparently seems to be the largest shear out of all of these. V'amar Abaye, riva d'revia d'pumpadisa. And Abaye says, ah, you also need, and that has the size of one quarter of a litre in pumpadisa. Hasan b'bishula. So the Gemara says, no, the case over there is different. Why? Because the leather was cooked. Look at Rashi b'bishula. Loch, it's moist. Kimo shehofshat kari bishul lasham bishul hulach daakati lo chazi liibud aval yovesh chazi liibud vechevan the chazi liibud havi kimu ubad. So what's the Gemara is very interesting answer. So Abaye says you're right. If you have leather that is literally cooked, meaning that's totally soft, there's not yet in the parsha of even being tanned. So leather of that sort will have its own shear. But once a leather is omed, is in a state where it's ready to be tanned, then in Achinami it is reckoned, it is given the same type of shear as a leather that's tanned as well. So let's finish the two dots, then we'll summarize it. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, we actually quoted this yesterday, both said that if you have a bag, you have a garment, so the smallest shear that it can have in order to be receptive to Tumas Midras is 3 tefachim on 3 tefachim. Hasak dalet al dalet, right? A sack will be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Ha'or hey al hey, right? That the leather will be hey al hey. Mafatz vav al vav, so a sack is going to be vav al vav. Bein lemedris, bein lemes. V'tani ala habeged v'asak v'ha'or kishir l'tuma kach shir l'hotza. And the Gemara says elsewhere that when it comes to all these items, I will say for our purpose, we're focusing here is on R, is on leather. That the same shear for leather for Tuma is the same shear for Hotza. And I will say now we have another shear. Right? So here the Bryce is telling me that what? That the shear for leather is Dalet al Dalet. Excuse me, Hey al Hey. Right? So you see, it's a different shear to which the Gemara says, Ahu, Bekortubla. This is talking about Kortubla. What's Kortubla? This, look at Rashi, Kortubla, Mevashlo Beroskin, Umiskasha Leshevalov, Ulechasos Dlufkos. This is talking about leather that was cooked in boiling water. It's made very hard, and it's used to cover furniture and tables. So we'll say, this is a totally separate partial leather. So we'll say, what is the Gemara saying, bottom line? Bottom line, Halacha Maaseh, the Gemara says like this. The Mishnah tells us that the shear for leather is enough to go ahead and make an amulet, make a kamiya. And that is the shear for leather, whether the leather has been tanned or hasn't been tanned. As long as the leather itself is omeid, is in the parsha that it can be tanned, we'll call it can be tanned, then it has unprocessed leather has the same shear as processed leather. However, if the leather has been processed in a different way, right, for example, it's been boiled, it's been cooked, so therefore it's clearly set aside for a different kind of use and it's not going to be tanned, then what? Then it has all of these other different shiurim. But halacha l'maaseh, both untanned leather and tanned leather will have the same shiur l'gabei Shabbos for a kamiya, again, as long as the leather itself is either able or omeid to be tanned. Once it's set aside for something else, then by definition has separate shiurim. Says the Gemara. Klaf. Klaf k'dei lichtov, alov parsha kitana. I saw klaf, you have to carry out enough in order to go ahead and write a small parsha. Or minhu, Sigma raises the kasha. Klaf uduchsustus, k'dei lichtov alav mezuzah. The boss is very important. So there are three different, look at Rashi, duchsustus, klaf shenital klipasa ha'al yona. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. There are three different types of parchments, but we're going to use three different terms. Gvil, duchsustus, and klaf. So apparently a hide, can be, if you take a piece of hide, you could pull it apart into two layers. Gvil is called when the hide is in one piece, undivided. When you divide it up, you have two pieces, the klaf and the duchsustus. The duchsustus is the part that was closer to the flesh of the animal, and the klaf is the part that was closer to the we'll call it the hair, right, the skin of the animal. So that's duchsustus, part closer to the skin, klaf, part that's farther away. Gvil is when they're both together. So the Gemara is like this. If you have klaf and duchsustus, right, these two pieces of the gvil, kadei lichtov alav mezuzah. If you carry out either one of these on Shabbos, you're chayiv if you carry out the amount on which that would have been enough to write a mezuzah. So my mezuzah, what does that mean, a mezuzah? So the Gemara, so we'll say this is the kasha, because the Mishnah says that you're chayiv if you carry out enough to write the smallest parsha of tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Here the Mishnah, the Gemara seems to say you're only chayiv if you carry out the amount of klaf or dechzustos to write a mezuzah. So the Gemara says my mezuzah shebetulin. Now also remember, all mezuzah means for the Gemara's purpose is that it's a scroll. So what scroll does it refer to? It refers to the scroll in the tefillin. Scroll in the tefillin. The karilo, so the Gemara says mezuzah shebetulin karilo, excuse me. So my mezuzah shebetulin, the karilo hu the tefillin mezuzah. And do we call the parashios in the tefillin a mezuzah? In the Hatanya, but we learned Ritzuos Hatfilin Imatfilin Mitamos Asayadaim Bifne Atzman in Mitamos Asayadaim. So it's a very interesting halacha. We know that one of the takanos of Ezra, we learned this in Brachos, was that if a person touches Kisei Kodesh, if a person touches scrolls of Kodesh, if a person touches the Sefer Torah, their hands become Tamei for Truma purposes. That if they were to touch Truma, they would make the Truma Tamei. Remember, we saw this whole takanah of Ezra because people were storing Truma in an Aron Kodesh. And the problem, why? Because people said, oh, the Truma is Kadosh, the Torah is Kadosh, let's put the Kadosh in the Kadosh. The problem was what? Was mice. Mice were getting into the Aron Kodesh, eating the Truma, and were nibbling away at the parchment. In order to go ahead and create a deterrent, Ezra said, if your hands touch Kisvei Kodesh, they're Tamei. That's a sure way to get Truma out of the Beis HaMikdash, out of the Aron Kodesh, because nobody wants to defile their Truma. So the Gemara takes a step further. The Gemara quotes an opinion here who says that if your hands touch tefillin, right? Tefillin also has the status of kisvei kodesh, and your hands touch it would also make your hands tummy for truma. So the Gemara says, "Ritzuos tefillin matfillin." If the straps of the tefillin are attached to the batim, then mitamos es hayadayim. Then they go ahead and what? They literally make it, because they're attached to the bayis, it's as if you're touching the bayis, and therefore your hands become tummy for truma purposes. Bif the asar, if the straps are not attached to the batim, then what? Ein metamos asayadayim, they do not make the hands tummy for truma purposes. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishim Rabbi Shimon, Hanogea beretzua tahor, ad sheyiga biktsitsa. Rabbi Shimon says, no, that even if you touch the retzua, your hands are tahor until you touch the bayis itself. Rabbi Zakkai Mishmo Omer Tahor Ad Sheyagia B'Mezuzah Atzma. Rabbi Zakkai says, the truth is, you're Tahor even if you touch the batim, until you touch what? Until you touch the mezuzah itself. So you see, what does mezuzah refer to over here? Mezuzah refers to the parsha in the tefillin. So you see from here that Allah HaLamayis, even parshas in tefillin are called mezuzah. V'hami diktani seifa k'deklaf k'dei lichtov. By the way, we don't pass in that way, like Gabi tefillin. V'hami diktani seifa klaf k'dei lichtov alav parsha ketana shebetfilin shehi shema Yisrael. But the end of that brisa says that if you carry out klaf, you're chayiv if you carry it out enough to be able to write on it the small parsha that's in tefillin, and that's Shema Yisrael. Michlal dereisha b'mezuzah atzma askinon. Now, if the Seifa explicitly talks about tefillin, then it would appear that the reisha that talks about the mezuzah would seem to be talking about the real mezuzah, not tefillin. Hachi katani, this is what the Brisa means to say. Klaf v'duchsustus, if you have klaf and duchsustus, shiurin bekama, how much is their shear? So the Gemara, meaning how much would you be chayiv for carrying out on Shabbos? Duchsustus k'dei lichtov alav mezuzah. If you carry out duchsustus, you're chayiv if you carry out enough on it to write a mezuzah. Klaf k'dei lichtov alav parsha k'tana shebetilin shishema Yisrael. And klaf you'd be chayiv if you carry out enough to go ahead and write on it the smallest parsha, which is Shema Yisrael. Now, I'll just point out to you the reason why the shir is like this. There is a halacha l'moshe Sinai that mezuzah is also written on duchsustos. And in fact, that's how the Shulchan Aruch in Yoradea Reish Peches Sif Vav Paskins, that mezuzah is written on duchsustos. That mezuzah, I'm sorry?
Real mezuzah.
Correct. When we say, I'm going to use the word mezuzah for our mezuzah, is written on duchsustos. Is written on the piece of the gvil, the piece of the hide, that is the piece closer to the flesh. Now, how do we paskin today? So the Ramah comments on this. The Ramah says, but today we use the klaf, we use what we call klaf, because again, halacha l'maisa, that is of the same quality as the duchsustos. So again, the ikra din is on the duchsustos, but today we write everything on klaf. By tefillin, however, tefillin, the Shulchan Aruch is in Arachayim Lamed Beis Zayin, writes that tefillin is written on cloth. and tefillin is written on cloth. So again, just halacha, and this is all halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that these different things are written on different pieces of parchment. We'll see Sefer Torah in just a little bit. So the Gemara says, Vayter, Amar Rav, duchsustos harihi kiklaf. So Rav says, duchsustos is just like cloth. Ma cloth, kol sana lav tefillin, just like cloth, you could write tefillin on it. Af duchsustos kol sana lav tefillin, you could also write tefillin on duchsustos. So the Gemara says, Tanan, klaf kde lichto parsha ketana shebetvilin, shi shema Yisrael. Right? So yet the Braisa says that for klaf, you're chayiv for the amount that you would write shema of tefillin. So what do you see from there? That tefillin are dafka written on klaf and not on duchsustos, to which the Gemara says, lemitzvah. No, when the Braisa means that that's the lechatzchi, that's min ha-mitzvah min ha-mufchor. Mitzvah min ha-mufchor, the best way to write tefillin is on klaf. But for the avid, if you wrote it on duchsustos, that would be okay also. Tashma, halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, tefillin ala klaf, u'mezuzah ala duchsustos, there's halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, that tefillin are written on klaf, and mezuzah is written on duchsustos, klaf, so now the Gemara defines this, klaf b'makom basar, duchsustos b'makom ser, so what's this interesting? So remember how we pointed out before, the klaf is the piece of the hide that's closer to the, we'll call it the skin of the animal, and duchsustos is the piece of the hide that's closer to the flesh of the animal. You hear what I'm saying? Right? I'll say this. Klaf is the part that's closer to the hair of the fur of the animal versus the chsusat, which is closer to the flesh of the animal. So what's interesting, however, is the following. On klaf, the Gemara says, you use the part of the klaf that faces the flesh of the animal. And on duchsustus, you use the part that faces towards the outside, towards the hair of the animal. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, you only write the mezuzah on klaf, to which the Gemara again says, l'mitzvah. That's again talking about mitzvah min ha-mufchar. Mitzvah min ha-mufchar. L'chatchila, you should use the klaf for tefillin, but b'diavad, even if you use the duchsustos, you're okay. V'hatanya, shina, puzzle, apostle, aye, but we learned that if you go ahead and you deviate, right, you use, let's say, one type of parchment for the wrong thing, it's possible. To which the Gemara says, a mezuzah. That's only referring to mezuzah. That halacha l'maisa, mezuzah is just used duchsustos, but if you use klaf for it, it's possible. But by tefillin, the Gemara wants to suggest, you could use either. V'hatanya, but we learned, shina bazeh, bazeh, apostle. Hi, but we learned, if you used, right, shina bazeh, bazeh, if you deviated by this one or by that one. Now, we'll say, we assume that, what does that mean? That means by tefillin or mezuzah. If you change, right, if you use something other than klaf for tefillin, or something other than duchsustos for mezuzah, that is possible. To which the Gemara says, no, edvid amezuzah. Both of those are referring to mezuzah. V'had dikasinu aklav b'makom se'ar, inami aduchsustos b'makom basar. And what does it mean, edvid are possible by tefillin? What it means is, if you used the wrong side of the duchsustos, or you use the wrong side of the klaf, that would be possible. V'ba'isema, shina bazeh u'bazeh t'nahi. Or maybe it's machlokes tanoim. Disanya, shina bazeh ubazeh pasul. If you deviated by this one or by that one, right? So the assumption of Rabbi Ozeh is going to be by tefillin or by mezuzah. Pasul, Rabbi Acha machshir. Rabbi Acha says ultimately that it's kosher. Rabbi Acha machshir. Mishum Rabbi Achi bar Chanina, va'amrei mishum Rabbi Yaakov bar Bichanina, Rav Papa Amar Rav, de'amar kitana de be'minasha, The Tanit Be'minasha, Kasva ala niyar va'ala matlis psula. If a person wrote, we'll see over here, look at Rashi for just a moment. Look at Rashi. No, actually, don't look at Rashi yet. If you wrote the item on niyar paper, matlis is on like a piece of cloth. Psula, ala cloth, if you wrote it on cloth, va'ala gvil. Remember, gvil is the piece of, the whole piece of parchment together, on where it's undivided. Ala duchsustus, kshera, kasva mai. So when you say you wrote it, what is the it? Ilema mezuzah, if you want to say it's referring to mezuzah, aklaf mikasvinon. Do we write tefillin? Do we write mezuzah on klaf? You write mezuzah on duchsustus. Alalav tefillin? Rather, it must be tefillin. Right, so then what the Bryce is saying is what? According to Tanadei Menashe, that you could write tefillin on whatever you want. So the Gemara says, Ula Tamech, tefillin agavil mikasvinon. Do we really write tefillin on a gavil? Ela kitanya ahi besefer Torah. Oh, so rather, what are we talking about? We must be talking about a Sefer Torah. The Rabbi said that halacha l'maisa, the Bryce is saying that a Sefer Torah is written on anything. Leima misayele ki yotzibo, tefillin shebalo, the Sefer Torah shebalo, Ein osin mehen mezuzah. If you have tefillin that got worn out, or a sefer Torah that got worn out, you can't make a mezuzah from their parshios. Why? Lefi she'in moridin mekedusha chamura lekedusha kala. Because you can't go from a higher kedusha to a lower kedusha. So obviously, going out and taking a sefer Torah, making it into mezuzah, tefillin taking a mezuzah, is going from a higher level of kedusha to a lower level of kedusha. Taima de'in moridin. The reason you can't do it is because you can't go to a lower level of kedusha. Hamoridin. But if this were not an issue, then osin you could, right? You could. So the Gemara says, "Diksiva amai." What is it written on? Now, I will say, it's interesting because now the only reason I can't do this is because I can't go from a higher level of kedusha to a lower level of kedusha. But what is the Sefer Torah Tefillin written on? Lav diksiva ad duchsustus is not talking about a case where it's written on duchsustus, and therefore that's why I could even entertain the possibility of transforming it into a mezuzah. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, diksiva ala klaf, diksiva ala klaf. It's written on klaf. O mezuzah aklaf mi kasinan. But do we write mezuzah on a klaf?" The Gemara says, "In that Tanya, kasva ala klaf ala niyar ala matlis psula." But we learn that if you wrote it on klaf or on paper on a matlis, it's possible. Amar Rav Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Meir haya kosva ala klaf mipnei shemishtameres. Rabbi Meir says that you can write a mezuzah on klaf. Why? Because it lasts the longest on klaf. Hashda da asis lahachi l'rav nami lotema duchsustus harihu ki klaf. Rather, we should come to the conclusion that klaf is just like duchsustus. Ma duchsustus kolsun alav mezuzah, af klaf kolsun alav mezuzah. Therefore, it seems to be the conclusion that just as you could use duchsustus for mezuzah, so too you could use klaf on mezuzah. So we'll say again, halacha l'maisa, as we said, at the end of the day, l'maisa, for our purposes, the Rama Paskins, we do all of these things on klaf. On klaf. That has to do with the fact that our klaf is of higher quality. But Lemaisa, the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim says that tefillin is on klaf, mezuzah is on duchsustus, and sefer Torah is on gvil. That's nigger, and the sefer Torah is on gvil, the thicker parchment. But again, the Rama comments in all three of these cases that halacha Lemaisa today we use klaf for each of these items. All right, so we'll stop over here. So the schedule for.